like to welcome you again to Great Resolutions. My name is Marty Robert, and with me again today is Bill Lawson. Welcome, Bill.
It's good to be back again, Marty, for another session here.
Well, lately, Bill, we've been covering the life and work of our brother John Wycliffe. And we saw from the beginning that he was considered as the morning star of the Reformation. That means even before the time of Martin Luther, about 150 years before Luther came around, there were ones like John Wycliffe who were shining luminaries, and they were quite enlightened, and they rose up to speak for God, and they began to speak out and protest against all the degraded Christianity that they were in the midst of. And of course, John Wycliffe lived during that time of the Middle Ages, and he was born around 1330. Of course, he was at the university at Oxford there. He was considered as the gospel doctor because he himself had spent so much time in the Word. But John, we'll see today, he was burdened that the Bible would not just be available to scholars like himself who knew Latin,
right,
but that this book could begin to be opened to the public in a general way, to the common man. And so anyway, today we want to get in to cover a little more of his story and see that John Wycliffe was the man who was behind the opening of the Bible in the English language for the first time. Although there were portions of it that had been translated prior to this, John Wycliffe was the first one responsible for opening the Word of the entire Bible in a complete way into the English language. So this is the story we'd like to get into today here.
You know, our listeners may not understand why we are spending so much time on some of these ones. Like, well, next session we'll have another time on John Wycliffe. But I think it warrants a whole session about his contribution, his spiritual contribution in church history, for someone to do what he did at the cost of possibly losing his life, to translate the Holy Scriptures into the, you might say, the common man's language of the day, was a remarkable thing. It's not like today where we can gather together a committee and just do whatever we want and just come out with a translation. And we have all kinds of people to help. We have freedom of speech. He worked, and we'll see, you know, in a sense, behind the scenes to bring the Holy Scriptures into the English language of the day. That was a great work.
Well, this time, I think we've covered this a little bit prior to this, was really a time of corruption and superstition. And John Wycliffe was born and raised during that time, and he really had a conviction. He felt that only the light of the Scriptures could really usher people out of this darkness. And of course, we know that it was a very difficult time to be living in. Most of the people at that time were very poor. Many or most all of them could not read or write. The life expectancy was very short during that time period. And most of the people were under the just enormous influence of the suppression of the Catholic Church with all its falsehood and superstition. And so during this time period, the Bible, you could say, was virtually a locked book. And not only throughout Europe, but here in England in particular, we're talking about. And the church maintained that only the clergy could be entrusted with the Scriptures. And they sought to actually protect the Scriptures from the ignorant and common people.
Right, protect with quotes, Mark. Marty.
Right. So they actually had a council of Toulouse back in 1229, which strongly decreed that they said, "We forbid the laity to possess any of the books of the Old and New Testaments."
What a way to lock it up, huh?
That's amazing, you know, to think that the church would prevent people from coming to the Bible is quite amazing. So they actually said that if any of these books of the Bible were translated into what was called the vulgar or the common tongue, they said this would be strictly forbidden. And they actually threatened with the threat of excommunication if any were found translating the Bible or even reading or studying the scriptures outside of the Latin language. Of course,
right.
Most all the people at that time not only couldn't hardly read English, they for sure could not read Latin. So this was the environment that John Wycliffe was in. And of course, he himself could, he was a Latin scholar, so he did have access to the scriptures himself. And he read and studied the scriptures. And the more he did, the more he saw the contrast between the light in the word and the darkness all around him. And this just increased the burden within him to get this word opened up and released to all the people in their own language.
In a sense, at that time, if you go back 500-600 years, he was a real radical, because no doubt he was swimming against the tide there. And he held which at that time would be radical beliefs. Today they would be common beliefs. But he was teaching and people that the Bible is the word of God, that God and his word are one. Not only so, Christ is the author of the scriptures, that only the scriptures are infallible, not the Pope, not any other people, no matter what they claim as infallibility, only the scriptures are infallible, and that men are not infallible. And of course, you can imagine that was those writings and those what he propounded was that would give you a death sentence. And he taught that the traditions, all those doctrines, the ordinances should not be placed above the scripture. And that the scripture, which is marvelous, and even Brother Watchman Nee in his writings, he followed that too. Scripture has to be interpreted by scripture itself. It testifies of itself. But like you said, because so few at that time had any access at all to the scriptures, it was locked up by the clergy. And they thought that, you know, that the common man would defile it by, you know, trying to open it up, and was only good for scholars and priests and theologians to open it up. But he really took a chance, because he knew Latin, he was very, very proficient in Latin. And he began to realize, like, hey, why can't the English people mainly have the Bible in their own language? Why do they need to try to learn Latin when we have an English language? He even agreed with Jerome. You know, Jerome was one of the 4th century scholars, right, that said that to be ignorant of the scriptures was to be ignorant of Christ. So Wycliffe said, no man is so rude a scholar but that he might learn the words of the gospel according to his simplicity. So he was quite a person.
Well, Wycliffe's burden was he realized that portions of the scripture had been translated into the English language prior to his time, and he, of course, was able to read those. But he was burdened that the entire Bible would be translated into the English language and made accessible to all the people. And he had a hope that more and more people would become educated, would be able to read the English language, and eventually would be able to read the Bible in their own language. And he actually argued right from the word. He said, look at Moses. He heard God's law in his own tongue. And he said, so did the Lord's apostles or disciples. And he said, even Jesus, when he would speak to the people, he would do so from the Septuagint, which was a Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures, which was the common language being used at the Lord's time. So he felt the best translations are those that, of course, we know that the best translations of the Bible are those that are based on the Hebrew and Greek, but Wycliffe himself did not know those original languages, and he was a scholar of Latin, and he felt at least he could open up the word from the Latin to the English, And so he ignored that decree of the Council of Toulouse, and he began with a small group of helpers to begin to translate the Bible into the English language. And this is a we today can't imagine going on with the Lord and not having this precious gift available to us. So this was the very beginning. He opened the way. And of course, we know later on, similar translations came about later in the time of the Reformation. But we needed a brother like John Wycliffe to pioneer and to cut the way and to begin to release the word into the English language.
He was remarkably similar, Marty, to Martin Luther. You know, Martin Luther was taken away by, you know, by the coming back from that council, and he was taken away secretly to that castle in Wartburg, Germany, and there he spent a year or so translating the Bible of his time into German. And Wycliffe, in a sense, did the same thing, of course, not by force, but he retired to a quiet rural area of England called Lutterworth. And a few of them just worked. I think it took them about 2 years, and they faithfully labored, and they were able to get that Bible in Latin into English, the Middle English at that time. It took them about 2 years. One of Wycliffe's closest friends, John Purvey, he revised the initial version that Wycliffe did, but I think Wycliffe can claim the primary responsibility for undertaking this translation. Of course, he did it in a time of when you would attempt to make the Bible available in the English language. That was a daring endeavor, because the church at that time, even in the, you know, of course, at that time, the Roman Catholic Church was so powerful in England. They bitterly opposed that work, and they really condemned Wycliffe. It was a miracle Wycliffe was not burned at the stake.
That's amazing. It's quite amazing that the stand of the Catholic Church during that time, they were so opposed to what Wycliffe was doing. And they said that eventually he was making the scriptures more available to the layman. They said even to women who could read, then he made it more available than the learned scholars. So they felt like, they said that this was the pearl of the gospel being scattered and trodden underfoot by swine. That's such a derogatory statement of allowing the common man to read the word. So the bishop actually during that time called John Wycliffe a child of the devil. And they said he was just a student or pupil of Antichrist. And they said that this was his crown of wickedness by translating the scriptures into the mother tongue. So we can really see, you know, the Bible says we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but you can really see the enemy, Satan, really behind these men opposing the release of God's word into the mother tongue of the common man at that time. And actually, you realize, according to Romans 10, we know that faith comes about when men hear or read the word of God of Christ. So no doubt Satan was really trying to thwart the faith being able to rise up in many during Wycliffe's time by releasing the word in their own common language.
I think at one time Wycliffe mentioned that if it's a heresy to read the Bible, then the Holy Spirit himself is condemned, because he gave in tongues to the apostles of Christ to speak the word of God in all the languages that were ordained of God under heaven. He really caught flack from both the government of England and, of course, the Roman Catholic Church, and they did everything to shut him up, to reject his translation. Even the king got involved. King Henry IV got involved, trying to eliminate his translation into English. And then eventually the church took a stand pronouncing that his Bible, his translation into English, was not even to be read in public or private unless you would suffer the pain of excommunication. So there were several attempts, you know, to bring Wycliffe before church tribunals, you know, like what they did with Huss, like they did with Luther. They tried to do the same thing with Wycliffe, and even there were several papal bulls written against him, condemning him. But of course, he passed away. He died before he could be convicted of heresy. And now, I think in existence, there are about 170 handwritten copies of Wycliffe's Bible still around. So we still have a record of that.
You know, this reminds me, Bill, of what Watchman Nee said, that during the time of the Reformation, the church was given two things. One, of course, was this open Bible, and the other was the gospel of grace. And he said these are two very great treasures that have been released to the believers through the centuries. And we should be so thankful to the Lord and even honor those whom the Lord used to bring about the release and the opening of the Bible and the release of the gospel of grace. So actually, Watchman Nee said that God honored them and he entrusted them with this greatest work in the history of the church. And that the purpose of the whole Reformation was to turn men back to the Bible. So I think during this time period, we can really see that nothing is trustworthy except the Bible. So it's amazing, Bill. Today, I think most of us would probably have many copies of the Bible. Christians, at least throughout the United States, probably have several copies available to them, but it's easy to begin to take the Bible for granted. And I think reading and knowing the story of John Wycliffe should cause a new appreciation to rise up in us and really be thankful, so thankful to the Lord for this great gift that he has given to us in the opening of the Word in our own language.
No doubt it's got to be God's greatest gift to man. You know, sometimes I'll look at the New York Times bestseller list and it talks about, oh, this book is fiction, that's number one fiction, this is a good read. When you compare the Bible to all of that, it's not even close. The Bible is truly God's gift to man. Or else, without the Bible, how could God communicate with us? How could he reveal his heart to us? How could he open up his intention to us? The Bible, right, is not available. There's no truth opened up. So we really have to thank the Lord for the Lord's work through John Wycliffe. You know, without these ones opening up the Word, how could we come to the full knowledge of the truth? How could the Bible make us wise unto salvation? You know, what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15. Or even what Peter talked about, we're regenerated by the living and abiding Word of God, the incorruptible seed. How could we? You know, there's no way we could practice, come to know Christ without being able to read the Bible, right, as a clear, definite kind of explanation and plain revelation of his wonderful person.
Well, I think both of us, and I'm sure many of our listeners, we're all very thankful to the Lord for giving us such a gift and for also giving us such faithful servants as John Wycliffe was to the church to bring us the opening of the scriptures in our own language. Well, maybe we'll conclude here for today, Bill, but I'd like to encourage the listeners to tune in next time. We're going to continue with to see, once the Bible was opened up and translated into the common man's language, then John Wycliffe had the burden. We got to get the word out. And you can really see this is a great thing. Once the truths have been opened in the scriptures, they need to be distributed. And so we'll next time we'll begin to see how some brothers cooperated and coordinated not only with the Lord, but also with John Wycliffe to begin to release these truths to many people in their day. All right, Bill, it is good to fellowship again, and we'll connect next time as we continue covering John Wycliffe.